Okay, I've got 9 o'clock. We'll call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order. Ms. Wallace noting that all members of the court are present at this time. As an administrative note, I would ask that those of you here in attendance, if you've got an electronic device, you place that on silence at this time. And those participating by Zoom, if you place your device on mute until such time that you'd need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Dear God, we come before you today, humbled in your sight and asking of the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're so thankful for the many blessings that you continue to bestow upon us. Lord, we humbly ask that you guide this court, you watch over us, and you give us the wisdom to do what is best for the citizens of Coryell County. Lord, we continue to ask for your blessings across our first responders and those who protect us here on earth, just as you watch over us from heaven above. Lord, we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
And we pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here this morning that would like to address the court this morning?
Yeah. I came in and spoke with y'all in October.
Yeah, ma'am, would you please state your name for us?
Debbie Vanood.
Okay.
I'll pre-fame that, but I don't feel real safe saying that at this point.
Okay.
I came before you in October concerning the fast development that was going on here and that our infrastructure could not support at this time with the numbers that we're going in. We're not doing it slowly. We're doing it very, very fast, and there's just not things in place to protect your citizens that are already here and paying taxes. I don't know if you've heard what had happened on Saturday, but I don't scare easily, but I'm now very concerned about what is going on, and specifically the development on 267. There were people's lives that were put in danger on Saturday. Predominantly because information is not being put out there. True information is not being put out there for these huge developments that are going on. My property, and I'd like to ask right now, at one of the other meetings, there was supposed to be a survey done of the aquifer telling us what condition we're in at this point right there that's being used. And I'd like to know if that's been done. I'd also want to ask, is there plans right now in the works for expanding County Road 267? And I want to know if surveys have already started, if that's the case, because my property has evidence of surveying, and I have not given consent for anybody to be on my property, and hence that is trespassing. So if that's going on here, and I don't know that it's county related, I want to know. Because it's going to impact me quite substantially if and when y'all go and decide you're going to increase these roads, if that's something that's going on in the future. But we've been working for 6 months with y'all trying to put in place things that will protect the people who are already living here and who are going to be impacted about this stuff. And after Saturday, I don't feel like y'all have been on our side. I really don't. I am now questioning whether or not my grandson can play in my front yard in view of the road because of what's been going on and the threats that have been given. It's scary. We all pay for you to represent us. And I don't feel like that y'all have stepped up at all in the last 6 months to address this issue. And we're now concerned and worried about living in places that were safe and friendly. And they're no longer like that because of what happened on Saturday. It came to my attention also on Saturday that 6 months ago, the sheriff told us that he was sorely understaffed and was concerned about these subdivisions and whether or not he was going to be able to supply the needed protection with the growth that was going on. I found out Saturday, we're down to 2 officers for all of Coryell County. That millions of dollars that was just advocated for the new jail should have been used to better protect the people in this community and start the process of increasing our infrastructure so that we could absorb these huge, instead of something that's already existed here. We could have increased salary thresholds to get better officers. We could get them equipment, we could get them training. No, it's all for the almighty dollar and quick growth. I'm upset, I'm heartbroken. My husband and I, the property that we sit on is a lifelong dream for us. We have saved, we have invested, we have planned to have this for our retirement. We have trusted it into our children so that they can enjoy it after we are gone. And unfortunately, by the time I die, I don't know that that's going to be the case. We're losing acre by acre from people taking our land by eminent domain. There's already 3 oil wells on it. The state of Texas has another one in the works as we speak right now. And now I'm looking at possibly 3/4 of a mile of my frontage, my front part of my house, being taken by road expansion. Instead of that price being put onto the developer across the street that has no development over there, regardless of where the utilities lie. I want assurance from y'all that road is going to be extended to the other side where it doesn't impact anybody, regardless of whether there's utilities or anything there or not, so that I'm not being taken on punishment or the development for somebody else that needs it. I don't need it. They do. It should go all off on their property, not mine.
Okay, thank you. I would like to, we are limited as how we can respond, but I believe you posed 3 questions, 2 of which I would like to provide you an answer on. You asked about the aquifer status. The Middle Trinity Groundwater District is currently developing or updating their aquifer model. And so they will have information for us in the near future. We believe I say near future, I believe it's going to be approximately the December timeframe of this year, which would allow us to then potentially address some things that we currently are not addressing. You asked about future expansion of County Road 267. This court has had no discussions about the future expansion of County Road 267. You mentioned something about surveying. The county is not involved with any surveying along County Road 267 or in that area. So those are statement of facts that I can provide you.
Judge, the survey has been going on. It's been a pipeline. I've heard rumors of another old line coming through. You look around, they're surveying all these right away. So if you have pipeline on your property, it could potentially be
it. And we do, but these survey tags are perpendicular to the road, not along the pipeline. That's the reason I'm questioning it. So they have been on there, and there are. We're aware of them, but these lines are not theirs, they say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address the court this morning? Ms. Bernard?
I have no problem saying my name because I'm already a target. Blair Bernard.
My name's Douglas Landrum.
And we're here to talk to you together because of what happened on Saturday. The developers had a 1-day sale. They threatened and had aggressive driving and put lives in danger. They ran over some of Debbie's signs. And when she went to put them up for a 3rd time, they drove down and signed again with her right in front of them and almost hit her gator or herself. Then just a few moments later, I was putting up signs. I had parked my car between the road and where I would be working, and my kids jumped out. I didn't even realize they were out necessarily. And then I didn't really think about it because what kind of insert every cuss word you can think of would target children? And one of the same trucks that matched the description of Debbie's that she got a picture of swerved to hit us and three children. My husband's here because I was worried this would happen. About 2 hours later, someone that we did not get a camera of a license plate. So the first truck, we can do both of those trucks that swerved to hit people. People were registered to BG Development. Both trucks confirmed by Sheriff Deputy Sheriff Ashley. Confirmed, owned by the developer. This truck, we did not get a copy of the license plate because it drove onto my property and threatened one of my employees' wives that he was going to kill her while holding a gun in a bag. She said it looked like a gun in a black bag. We have let loopholes in this county go for so long that you have people with no morals who are willing to put anybody at risk for the almighty dollar. And so we also have things like, for example, we have photographic proof from their company telling buyers that a well is going to cost them $15,000. Debbie had a well estimate of $75,000. Before the pandemic, my well cost me $68,000. I'm getting well estimates of $100,000. So they are full online and destroying property, putting people in harm's way, terroristic threats, and that is what is being sold in their county. And would everybody that's here about this stand up? So I'm the one that's talking, mostly because, and I know a lot of people have thought I'm the only one that's having a problem with this. I'm the only one talking because nobody else wants a gun bought onto their property and told they're going to be killed over some stupid signs that only have facts on them. Dry wells, do your research, water problems, limited law enforcement, fire, and ambulance service. Small schools, SpaceX testing. Fort Hood near with large ammunition. These are all things that we told them. We did not say bad words about that company. We did not mention that company. But now that company is taken out after us personally. Debbie and I have both been put in harm's way in one of my employees. Debbie's son also had one of the trucks that followed her. Debbie and I were both followed on Saturday for miles. The truck that followed her went to her son's doorstep and banged on the door aggressively for several minutes. When he didn't answer, skidded off. The one that followed me showed back up at my property on Monday morning and stalked my employees, watching them and taking pictures before driving off. These are the people that you are voting on the flat today. Please keep that in mind.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address the court this morning?
Yeah, I'm Joyce Riley, and I live on 267, and I have two small grandchildren, and they get off of a bus, and the way these people were driving is absolutely insane. I want some speed limits put there. I want some bus stop signs put there. I want these people to slow down. I don't want to lose a grandchild. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm Joyce Cherry. I live on the south side bordering this development. And I've been in this county for 27 years. We've not had problems. We've not had issues. I felt safe until now. I do not feel safe right now at this point with the threats, the harassment, the driving. Saturday was crazy. Those development vehicles coming in, leading, I don't know how many cars.
Hundreds.
There were probably hundreds once early in the morning. They were driving fast until the sheriff was called and he came out and slowed people down. It was dangerous. I couldn't get across the road to my mailbox. I would have been afraid to try. It's ridiculous to have this happen. As far as signs, That's freedom of speech. What I put on my property is not, if I'm not slandering somebody. And this threat bar frivolous civil lawsuit, well, your court's going to be busy because I'm not giving up freedom of speech. But I hope you will all take all of this into consideration. I don't know what concessions have been made. And I know the developers have money, obviously, by all this that's going on, that they need to recoup. But we're going to be here left to pick up the pieces after they recoup. And I just hope you'll all keep that in mind. Because you have vested interest in this county as well as we do. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Can I expand on something she just said that we didn't mention? People who work for this developer have told us that we are in line for a lawsuit for defamation, that they are working on the paperwork as we speak. So that's what she's referring to. I don't think either one of us said anything about that, but people who work for them have told some of us that we are now looking at defamation lawsuits against us for being out on our property with those signs on Saturday, even though we were threatened.
On approved property. They took pictures of all of our license plates.
And us, pictures of us hanging out the window, not driving safely, going 50 miles down the road, hanging out the window with cameras on all of us.
And if you want to know how truly terrified he was, you're welcome to ask Commissioner Basham, because he was there when I got the call. And I was melting. Y'all see me. I'm not scared of you. I'm not scared of them. If they come shoot me, that's what it is. I was taken out by a 600-pound steer last year. Didn't cry. I drove my own happy ass to the hospital. But I was melting in front of Commissioner Basham because they went after families, and that's bullshit.
I understand your passion. I'm going to ask you to please watch your language in the court.
Yes.
Again, I do understand your passion. And this is a very passionate and emotional issue. I don't want any of you to think that the Commissioner's Court as a whole does not consider that. We will have some discussion on this item later, and I'll address a few things at that point. Yes, sir.
My name is Perry Holloman. I've spoke before the court several times in the past regarding the same issues. And there's some other issues that have already been brought forward. I share over a mile of fence line with this development. So I think anybody here would understand why I have a vested interest, what's happening, you know, within inches and feet of my property line and what's taking place there. I also have 9 water gaps that come off of this property into my property. And there's been just a whole lot, understandably, heavy equipment work over there. And once we, and I pray every day for some rain, but once the big rain comes, I'm really curious what's going to come washing down through my property, feed 2 different stock tanks that carries what herbicide, insecticide, chemical, lawn products. Once these folks get established, we'll be feeding into some dry creeks, seasonal creeks that come through my property as well. And I would suspect anybody that has an interest in the protection of our native property and what's taking place with them would be not just curious, but anxious to see what's taking place. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we've got just a couple more minutes. Is there anyone else who would like to address the court? Yes, sir.
My name is Marcin Malinowski. I was there on Saturday. I did not witness some of the things that my neighbors did, but I did want to say that when I was out there parked with the sign, again, didn't see anything bad. Sign had our website up, clearbranchranch.com. That obviously states kind of the concerns we currently have. Had dry wells, and then just do your research. And I did have a couple of folks that were part of this, I guess, showcase on Saturday to that literally pulled over and were kind of asking, what's the deal? What are we, you know, complaining about? And to be honest, I had three people say, the second they spoke to some of these salespeople, they saw red flags. The moment they asked about water, electricity, they diverted from the questions. So in my fair opinion, it's kind of sad that a developer is willing to take some life savings, just make a quick pitch, sell it, collect a deposit, and then run away. That's kind of what happened with Evant 5 years ago, where people till this day have a lot of land and they can't do anything with it. I had older folks had property probably 20 miles away from here. They were just kind of looking to invest their hard earnings. I know for a fact they both don't work. They're one's a vet, one's a older lady. To me, they would be my great grandparents. And I know for a fact if they were to put their hard earned money into this, they'd be stuck holding the bag. And then after this next phase, if it does sell out, you're never going to hear about this LLC that they're obviously running. They literally are there to just make money and walk away from it while everyone else is suffering. And I'm not saying that we're the only ones that are going to take an impact on the electricity grid being hit, the roadways, the transportations, the water. It's going to affect everybody, including the new people that are actually going to possibly move in. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Any final comments to wrap up? Because we're going to need to move on. Okay. Hearing seeing none. Thank you all. I do want to extend just an opportunity to anyone that's participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning. Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. If you'll note that there are two entries, the minutes from Commissioner's Court's meetings held on February 14th and February 24th.
Make a motion to accept that.
Second.
We've got a motion from Commissioner Matthews to approve the consent agenda and a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 6 on the agenda is the road and bridge report. Mr. Latham, did he pass off to you, Mr. Mannix? Did he snuck out. He's like, hey, I'm out of here. Yes, it's already to you. Road and bridge report, Mr. Latham.
Oh, good. Second part of the month. We haven't not formal. Report. We've been crushing rock, reclaiming the road. We rented a reclaimer for the month of January into February. We returned to February 17th. We milled up about 27 miles of road. Now we're starting the process of putting base on them. That's been our big thing. We've been producing road base. We got the rock crushing crew running a six-day schedule. We're working 6-10s, producing enough rock to stay out of the trucks. So we've got a neighborhood of about 2,700 semi-truck loads where we need to haul in about 60 days. So that's pretty much where our focus has been.
And then?
Yep. Yes, sir. That's really about all I have for another major deal. So.
Well, it sounds to me like you've been milling, crushing, and hauling.
Semi-truck traffic's fixing to really step up on all these road and reclaims. So we're going to be going through Gatesville with a lot of semi-trucks out to 127, 130, 131. Those roads are scheduled to be resealed this summer. The larger projects are going to be there. We're kind of working on one right now. I call it Perky Barn Road, 338 over at the Liberty, 338. We've about completed it. We can get lots of flats on that road for some reason. Whenever morning. Lots of scrap iron, something left on the road.
Tire shops.
He's advertising. It'd be my own guy. We don't. The two bridges were completed in February and opened up. One in on Ogilvie Road and on Ramsey.
Guys did a great job on that.
That we're done. Right. So we got the land paid up in the Beale State.
Yeah.
That's pretty much been it.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
I hope you get some rainy weather that sets you back here in the next couple of weeks. No offense.
That has been a concern because we're getting limited on water. So a lot of these roads we're laying out dry and we're getting limited on where we can purchase water. Most time we run a couple water trucks when we're doing this, but we've had to cut back to one and just minimal, just try to keep the dust down. It's the rationing of water.
Yeah. Okay. We appreciate the update. And again, as always, we appreciate what the Road and Bridge Department does for the county overall. Any other questions for Mr. Latham? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to item number 7 on the agenda, which is consider a variance on Firefly RV Resort plans. Firefly RV Resort has submitted a variance requesting a variance to the construction standards of the road, but to leave the completed width at 22 feet that went out in your packets.
Judge, I visited with Mr. Mannix, Mr. Latham, and Mr. Gillett yesterday, and as well Mr. Massengill, and he has compliance with the variances that we've asked for. And I'm going to make a motion. Not so there's more discussion that we need to have.
What was presented, and I'm not trying to split hairs, what was presented to me was to approve the variance, but not the plan itself. Is that your understanding as well, that that's what we're considering today?
Yes.
Okay.
I make motion to approve the variances on Firefly RV Resort plans.
A second.
We've got a motion to approve the variance request from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 7? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 8 on the agenda is consider the plat approval for Twin Caverns Ranch. I would like to kind of preface this just a little bit. All right, because I think this is at the core of why maybe a large number of you are here today, is that about 2 years ago, the county updated their subdivision regulations. I believe it was June of 2021, I believe is the date on that. Of 2021. Okay. All right. And in that, we had reached out to a number of other counties that were of similar size, we felt were similar size and similar growth of Corio County. And we took some of the previous lessons learned and modeled a large portion of that subdivision regulation after what we had seen other counties do. And then we submitted that to a legal firm that has staff that specialize in state laws and statutes concerning subdivision regulations. They refined that a little bit with us, and that's what we adopted in June of 2021. At that point in time, growth patterns in Corio County, I didn't, at least from my perspective, I'm not going to speak for everyone on the court, the growth patterns in Corio County had not exploded like we are seeing them now. And in that, there are several deficiencies that we can identify. There are also several things that we have found out that we can do if we have the right data to support it. And at this time, we are relying on some outside agencies of which we have partnered with to collect that data so that we can better assess the structured and well-developed growth of Creole County. One of those I will highlight has to do with the underground water. This court has discussed at length, and Middle Trinity Groundwater Development District has presented a model and a timeline that will provide us much of that data. In addition to that, there are things that the county can do. And when I say can do, please understand we're a restricted government. We can't do anything other than what the state tells us we can do. So we're pretty much prohibited from doing everything unless it explicitly says we can do it. And we are looking for ways to find out what we can do to best structure the good development of Coryell County while protecting our current citizens and residents. So in that, another piece of this becomes a buzzword that we've used a little called RCP, a Resilient Communities Program, which will, once we receive that grant, it will allow us to do a land use slash comprehensive study and develop a comprehensive plan. It will address or give us the ability to then update our subdivision ordinances at a more in-depth level than what we previously did, as well as incorporating other programs like our hazard mitigation plan, as well as the groundwater study that's being conducted by Middle Trinity. Those things are not in place today. I'm gonna be very clear with you. None of that is in place today. So are we moving in the right direction? I believe we are. Are we moving as fast as some of you would like? I would venture to say probably not. But that's where we are. That's the foundation of how we have to make our decisions is what we have in place right now. So with that, we're going to go through our normal review that we would go through for platting procedures. Obviously, we'll open it up to the court for discussion and see what actions the court may want to take. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Mannix, if you'll run down your checklist with us to make sure that we've covered the items.
The developer is supposed to request in writing to visually inspect the property. They've done that. We have went out there inspected properly. We've been identified safe areas. Another thing on the checklist is to confirm whether it's a tier one or a tier two. This is a tier one. I checked the proposed subdivision name for name conflict. I did not see any for all our other subdivision plats of information I've got. They're supposed to present a plat of the subdivision in compliance with these regulations. They have done that. They're supposed to give a survey. They have given that. They put the name and mailing address of the developer, name of the subdivision, north directional indication level, arrow, location map showing subdivision relation to major roads, description of the exterior boundary by meets and bounds, total acreage within the subdivision, total number of lots within the subdivision. Total acreage is 785.72 acres. And they're proposing 138 lots. Area and acreage of the roads, including the length of roads, they've done that. The street right-of-way width, they've given a 60-foot right-of-way. Area and the acreage of each lot is on the plat. Bearing and distance for each lot, boundary line is on the plat. Areas dedicated for public use. Right-of-way easements, including alleys, drainage easements, and utility easements is on the plat. The proposed land use of all lots being subdivided are single-family residential. They've got the 100-year flood plains on the plat. They've got private road names, lot and block numbers arranged in a systematic order, 60-foot minimum road frontage on all lots. They are not accessing the TxDOT maintained roads. That's not a the real property index information of all the landowners surrounding the property is on plat. Location of all existing permanent man-made structures within the subdivision, including houses, barns, buildings, structures, fences, walls, ponds, tanks. They're all on the plat. They've given us major topographic features of the plat, approximate location of the wells. They've given the 6 reduced size, not scale copies of the plat. They've given me a digital copy. The scale on the plat is not, there's not supposed to be more than 1 inch equals 200 feet. And that's, they've got 1 inch equal 200 feet. 2 or more pages are needed to complete the plat. A key, maybe they've given us that. Survey of the proposed subdivision in compliance with these regulations. They've given us that. The land surveying firm's name and license numbers on the plat. A certificate from the surveyor who prepared the plat substantially in the form of Appendix D is on the plat. Developers submitted a plat application, including detailed documentation of infrastructure to be constructed in subdivision, including plans, drawings, statements, and estimated cost to make each category of proposed improvements. It's on the plat, or what they give me that, it's not on the plat, they give me all that. The plat application must include construction schedule. They've given me that. A description of the developer of the manner and means of providing drinking water. They've given me that. An engineered specification drawings, plans, and infrastructure to be constructed, comprising a plat application in compliance with these regulations. They've done that. They've given me a PDF electronic copy of it. They've given me 2 full-size bound sets of construction plans with all the requirements of the construction plans. They've given me they filled out floodplain plans wherever the road is going through the floodplain. They filled out floodplain application. They put base flood elevation benchmark on the plat. They've given me their developers' affirmative acknowledgement of the requirements of the section with their application. A certificate from each engineering confirming compliance of their specification plans, drawings, and substantially form as Appendix E. That's a signature block from the engineers. It's on the plat. Give me a letter from SITCOG confirming that the private road names are fine. They've got the cluster mailbox location on the plat. Give me the tax certificates of the property. They're going to keep these roads as private roads, so they've got the signature block on the plat statement that the county will not be responsible for maintenance of the streets. They've given me the public utility certificates for the electricity. They're going with wells, so there is no water certificate. They've given me the, they've got the designated representative signature on the plat. In reference to hot fire hydrants, they haven't, that's kind of not applicable because they're not going with a water company, but we requested that they put a storage tank to be able to fight fires safely within the subdivision, and they have agreed to do that, and that is also on the plat. They paid the subdivision filing fee, or not filing fee, but the application fees. They'll pay for the filing once it's approved in court. Geotechnical report, they've given me that. They've given me the site soil survey for the on-site sewage facilities. They've given me the well study, and we've sent that over to Middle Trinity. They've given me the private road maintenance is on plan, I believe. They've given me the bond paperwork, and they've gotten a letter from Middle Trinity saying that Middle Trinity agrees with their well study information in their well study. It's pretty much everything in our checklist that we require in the subdivision regulations. If you don't have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Mr. Mannix, thanks for your diligence, and I know it's a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot. On the storage tank, was there a reference to how many gallons, what size that is?
I'm pretty sure it's, yeah, I've got it somewhere. I think it's 30,000. I'm pretty sure it's 30,000 gallons.
30,000 gallons.
That's on lot 90, is that right? Or am I looking at a different guy?
Yes, it's on
behind. At this time, where I sit on this, I'd like to table this issue because I have some concerns and some stuff that hadn't been answered, in my opinion, and we haven't had an engineer to look at these plans yet. I know down in court we got a group that were taking a decision, so I'll make a motion to table this issue at this time for Twin Cavern Range.
We've got a motion to table considering the plat for Twin Caverns Ranch. If the court will bear with me, just want to say, Mr. Mannix, at what date did we receive the completed application?
For February 16th.
February 16th.
The calendar days or are those?
30 calendar days.
30 calendar days.
So that you're aware, the reason I'm asking the question on the date is that the court by statute has 30 calendar days to consider this plat for approval after the application has been received. If the court were to take no action within that 30 days on the 31st day, by statute, then the application is considered to be approved by the state. So on the floor right now, there is a motion to table.
I have no problem seconding that.
Just for the court's record, that would be on a Saturday, March 18th, if I'm correct. This would be our deadline.
Okay. And Commissioner, I'm not trying to mix semantics, but is that a second?
Yes.
So, okay, we have a motion from Commissioner Basham to table, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion from the court?
How am I supposed to move forward?
I believe one of the issues that Commissioner Basham has is in reference to some of the floodplain and drainage issues. There is a later item in the agenda that's going to enable us to be able to get a review of that. I believe Mr. Belt has kind of read into it. So the move forward is I don't think you need to do anything at this point is what I believe to be accurate. You know, that can change depending on what Mr. Belt may need or not need from you. But as far as the approval process, I don't think there's any action that you need to take at this point. Okay. I would entertain your comments. Yes, ma'am.
Do they have in place enough right of way that if 267, I mean, yeah, 267 and 274 are ever have to be increased, that they're going to absorb that into their, from their land and not the existing property owner's land?
I don't believe, and I would welcome other input comments. I don't believe we have requested any additional right-of-way along the 267 boundary. Is that an accurate statement?
We requested anywhere there was not 25 feet from Zara Road that they would give it to us. And I'm pretty sure.
Is that sufficient enough that it won't impact the existing property owner? Are you going to take 25 feet of theirs and then you're going 25 from center on mine?
No, what I believe that if I'm understanding correctly, the developer is giving us from center line of the road to ensure that we have 25 feet on their side. If your question then becomes, is it, you know, in the future, is it going to impact the current landowners? Right now, we're not asking for any land from the current landowners. And from a use standpoint, if there are more people out there, there would be an impact. But can I say it's going, you know, how it's going to impact every individual specifically? That's not possible. Okay. Any further discussion with the court?
I have none.
Okay. The motion on the floor stands to table, as well as a valid second from Commissioner Matthews. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item is tabled. Item number nine, consider court order 2023-04, order extending declaration of local disaster COVID. This is an order that we've had in existence for quite some time. There has been no change in the language of it. It does not impose any restrictions on any of our residents, and it matches the continued COVID declaration from the state.
Make motion to approve court order 23-04.
We've got a motion to approve from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Is there any further discussion on item number nine? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 10, consider enrolling Creole County in the Texas Association of County Cybersecurity Training Program at no cost to the county. Annual cybersecurity training is required under Texas Government Code 2054.5191. This is an annual requirement that the legislature enacted a couple of years back. This particular program we can enroll in, again, at no cost to the county.
Make a motion to put a candidate to the county cybersecurity training program at no cost.
We've got a motion from Commissioner Basham to enroll in the TAC cybersecurity program.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 10? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 11, consider a fee agreement with MRB Group for General Engineering Services. Last fall, if you recall, we put out an RFQ. There were three respondents to that RFQ, MRB being one of them. We went back and we asked for contract or some type of fee agreement structure with them. MRB has responded, and they're the only ones that responded to the request for the fee agreements. And I did not do any extensive research. I will quote my conversation with Mr. Belt, and he said that his experience says that those fees are very reasonable. And by getting this in place, again, some of the items that we're talking about that need to be addressed, they will be able to review that and look at it for us and give us some feedback.
I'll make a motion that we agree with MRB Group for general engineer services.
Second. We've got a motion from Commissioner Basham to approve the fee agreement. Second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 12, update on construction projects. Commissioner Weddle.
This would be a group effort. And a lot of it is really just kind of an update of where we are. We do have a pre-bid meeting set for March 2nd at the location of the jail expansion to review some of the vendors or the subcontractors that are submitting on this. All the paperwork for the replatting of the lots have been submitted and received finally to the city of Gatesville. So we should be getting something back from them on that shortly. 3:15 is still the deadline for all items to be out of the jail structure. And then later on today, we will be going into executive session to discuss the construction easements that we will require in order to build the new jail annex or the new jail expansion. That's really all the updates that I have on that. If anybody else has any.
I've got some good news to add.
You got some good news to add?
I've got some good news to add.
Okay.
As far as the replat or amended plat specifically for the jail addition, that has been approved. Paperwork, I've signed it, sent it back to the city of Gatesville. So it's just pending the city of Gatesville's signatures on that plat that has been done. The notice to bid for demo has been submitted. I did not verify in the paper if it got into last Saturday's paper or not. We have not got an update on construction permits, building permits from the city of Gatesville. I don't have any update on that. Pending future actions of the court, there is the potential to have an alternate location for our JPs and constables that are currently residing in the old jail, which would then trigger the ability to go forward with a couple of other actions. And that's
One thing, since we certainly have concerned citizens here today, in a way of kind of addressing the jail expansion. The intent of this expansion certainly is to get some relief to our sheriff's office. Part of that is we have to assign deputies currently to transport detainees to other facilities, which take officers off our streets in order to do that. By having a jail expansion, those officers will be able to go back out on the streets because these are deputies that are doing this. And then with the expansion, it's kind of funny how you say this. It's really just one person, but it is a shift that would man that expansion. So it should relieve some of the pressure off our officers having to at times drop some stuff and go pick up inmates to come back for hearings and that stuff. So I just want to assure you that was the safety and security of the citizens is at least mine, and I'm sure it's an expression of this court to is the top of our mind. That's one of the reasons he really pushed forward with this. Thank you, Judge.
You're welcome. Anything?
Nothing, Judge.
Okay. Got nothing further. We'll move on to item number. Item number 13. Sorry.
That's a different item 13.
Yeah, item number 13.
There, I thought you were.
Yes,
we're on
13. Yes. Okay. Item number 13. Consider interlocal agreement with Johnson County for housing inmates. Did we
have this put on there, Judge? And I reached out to the sheriff. And I apologize, Sheriff. I know you were doing everything you possibly could to get that done. But what I was wanting to ask the court, Judge, and I may be allowed on this, I know that Mr. Belt needs to look at it. And I think the sheriff's got all the, probably all the paperwork. I'm saying
we're really close. There's a medical issue that's a hiccup in it as far as. Possibly having to enter into some kind of MOU or interlocal agreement with their hospital there for doctors and what have you for billing purposes. And we're ironing that out. That's the only hiccup in the agreement right now that we have. With Mr. Bell, let him look at it for legalities. And then forward it to Sheriff King of Johnson County so his commissioners can look at it, county attorney. And kind of right now, we're kind of in the bantering back and forth, you know.
Did they negotiate? What did they go? How much did they
get? $100 a day.
$100 a day. What I was, oh, I'm sorry, Sheriff.
And the benefit of them, the reason for the medical and all that, they have a full medical on site. But their local hospital is who operates it, and there's an issue as far as prescription medication. And being able to bill back and forth with that. So they have talked about accepting every one of our female inmates throughout all of our contracts, which would allow us to reduce down from the current housing that we have of females of 16 beds. We can move them to an 8-bed thing. So we have female beds on site for any intake, but they will accept all females if this contract goes through. Plus they have we went and toured it, the chief and I, and they have a totally refurbished 48-man dormitory cell that would be totally ours for minimum to medium. Today, Johnson County will be here. Their jail administrator and their lieutenant are bringing their software because they're on a different classification system than we are. And they're coming today to classify our population to see if they have the ability to take 48 variables. They cannot classify as max, and unfortunately, they're on the point system instead of the ladder like we are. And the point system is a little more strict as far as classification. So some of our mediums that we have classified could classify in their facility as a max. So the court's aware there are several ways to classify an inmate. Fortunate for us, we changed back in probably 06, 7, 8, somewhere in there, went from the point system to the system, which gives us a little more liberal latitude with how we classify our inmates. Which is not an issue for us anyway. I mean, our entire facility is classified as maximum security. So, but unfortunately, Johnson County is not the But the facility that they have set aside for us can be redesignated as a maximum security. It just takes a whole lot of effort between that county and the jail standing commission. So with that being said, I'm really hoping to get this pushed out today. Well, actually, I will get pushed to Mr. Belt today. I'm hoping that he has a chance to review it. That way it can be pushed to their court and county attorney and sheriff to finalize the negotiation when they're finished. And as soon as that happens, then reality, we would like to get our dump down to about 65 or 70 inmates in our facility. That way, and if we can hold that for the rest of this 3 month quarter, that would put us in pretty fair standing with the commission when we get back.
Yes, sir.
Which may possibly save us a bunch of lawyer fees, well, possible sanctions to the county. But it is $100 a day. And I know that's pretty expensive, but they have a full 24/7 medical. They bring have dental, they have all of that on site, so there won't be any of those $50. I'm not saying it won't be any, but it will limit those $50 an hour trips to the hospital that these other counties charge. So it'll have to be an absolute emergency for them to be transported off that facility.
Yeah, I think Commissioner Bash's idea on this was to expedite it. That way we're not in between culverts.
Yes.
And that the court would entertain the agreement, obviously, with the legal side of the county attorney review, which I'm in favor of too, because, you know, we have times that it's a problem. You know, we have to wait 2 weeks and it could put us in a stink again with the jail commission. And that's what we're trying to get out from under. I don't know if this was even shared with the jail commission when the last visit y'all made down there.
Or they are aware.
They are
aware. I made perfectly clear to them that we are actively in negotiations with Johnson County. And now, whether that fellow deaf ears or not, I don't know. But have been in constant contact with Ricky Armstrong, which is the deputy director, and Mr. Shelton, which is our inspector. Matter of fact, I talked to him yesterday on the phone again. So they're 100% aware.
They were made aware, and they were, I believe, the quantity of the number that we were looking at, and was expressed to them as well, that being up to 48.
Judge, I had a question I asked today. I don't know if it's possible, so I'm asking you because you're the judge. If we can agree that Mr. Bell, and I know that their commission, Mr. Court has to agree on it, but is there a way that we can agree on something today if Mr. Bell approves, the sheriff gives him, and their commission court approves it? Do we, because I don't want to wait 2 weeks if we can get this done quicker. Is there a way that we can approve something today to move forward with this, if everything lines up correctly? Can we do something today? So that's what I'm asking.
If I
cleared myself good enough, but no, I think you understand.
I think I can interpret what you were. I'm going to try to.
You talk, Commissioner Bash.
If the court, with the understanding that they have not seen a contract, if the court wished to make a motion to pre-approve a contract pending the legal review and approval of the county attorney, that would trigger that upon the county attorney's approval of that contract, it could be signed and enacted at that point.
Did you just make that motion, Jeff? I make that motion.
So I understand your motion is to approve an interlocal agreement with Johnson County for housing inmates pending the approval of the county attorney.
Yes.
And that was your second, Commissioner Matthews. I think that's a great, that's a great motion, Commissioner Basham. I mean, I think that was, that was, you know, I think you summed that up very well. So with that, is there any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries.
Thank you, Sheriff.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Item number 14, consider approval for upgrading telephone lines and the 911 system. There's some email traffic, and I'm not sure that I still completely understand. So I'm gonna ask the sheriff or his representative to kind of give us a little bit of background on this particular item.
Yeah, so if everybody knows, some of y'all know me. I'm Chris Beth with the Sheriff's Office. I deal with a lot of the IT stuff. Professional. I got some paperwork here for y'all to look through. So I got two, I guess I sent y'all two bids. One for the phone, one for the 911 stuff.
Thanks, sir.
And I guess a lot of the questions that we've had was, are responsible for certain things. So the first one I want to go through is the phone lines. So because we went from CenturyLink over to Vested, our network is fully deployed. So we have to change from the phone line to a Cat 6 line. So to do that, we have to replace all of the lines at Sheriff's Office, front and in the back. I think we have the lines at CID is okay, and I think we still need to do the code stuff. So I sat down with Mike, who's the blazing back here, that has got any questions you can ask him on why of the price is so high. Because there's a lot of lines we have to do, a lot of work we have to do involved in it. So what I put in here is Mike wrote something up, kind of the reasons why we need to do this. The phone systems need to be separate from our network, our data collection. So I put in here what CGIS is, who comes and audits us, but every up to 3 years, they come and check us out. They do a full check on security, all of our firewalls and so forth, right? And also I found on the 34th page, basically a information about why law enforcement looks different than any other business. Okay. So during so, also in the quote, Mike actually put on there the equipment that we'll be needing to upgrade it. So today I took pictures of our system now. So the phone system that we have now, which is on the first page of the pictures, that's what we have. It's old. Yeah. Okay. We use an old Antran network system that we need to upgrade. We need to have something. These new phones are vested. They're requiring not only the Cat 6 lines, but they're also needing power to the walls. Well, if we update the Antran system, the network system, then we will take the plug into the wall away. The system will do all of its own. And so making it better, we're trying to make sure that if we do get this upgrade, we still got to have the old phone system recording to get access for recordings. And we have to have a spot for, if we do get approved, putting all the lines in the system in new location. So our records clerk is going to be working a lot, working with two different phone systems. So working with Mike, he put a quote on what's going to cost for all the equipment. We're doing all the wiring, all of the, I guess, everything he could think of put on here. And that's going to be on just the phone system itself. The phone lines, the landlines, and the wiring for all of the sheriff's office. Any question?
The voice recording piece of this for 911.
Okay, so that's going to be a different. So 911 system is, we're going to try, I'm hoping we can upgrade it. Right now we're using, well, the second paperwork I sent, I gave y'all. We have the, what's called the NICE system. You got that? Years ago, it's a long time. It's antique. The system still uses Internet Explorer. Really using Explorer anymore. I think it went obsolete last year. I think everything is now using Chrome or that new updated Internet Explorer. So, for the update, we need to update this, and this is what's going to cost for it. I talked to Evan with the Vested Network, and he, when he was going to walk through, he saw it. It was like, hey, let's talk about that. So he got a hold of Eventide, which is basically the same system that Facebook PD has. They will, when I talked to Evan, he said he will order the equipment. He'll have his team come and set it up. They have a they will do a contract with Eventide and work with maintenance contracts and come help any issues whatsoever. And that's what the second quote is about. I think I had Evan come in the last time, but he couldn't make it. But do I have any questions? I know the judge even talking to Evan was Vested, so about that. Now when it came to SickDog replacing that one system, they are not responsible for it because we are not set.
Where's the second quote?
It went out in your packet. It should be. Yeah, there's two of them.
One from Blazing.
One for Vested.
But those are for two different things. They're not really comparison quotes.
Right? Yeah,
they're two different.
One is getting us in compliance with CJIS, the other one is upgrading our own system.
All right, so in my keep it simple world, CJIS has requirements that your voice and data be on two different tables, two different lines.
Yeah, Mike, do you want to explain that?
So they call it CJI data. CJI data is the secure data. The voice system can't touch that data, so they have to be segregated. And there's multiple ways to do that. And basically, what we've introduced today would be the easier, cheaper route, which is just to completely separate the phones onto their own network. And then at that point, once they're on their complete separate network, then CJIS can't even look at them because they don't touch the network that the secure data is on. So that's kind of the.
And the problem right now is we have a phone actually right now hooked up to our network. And so we need to get that removed because we were in a rush to switch over to that network. So.
Yeah, so technically right now they're out of compliance. So if they were to be audited right now, it would probably be.
So other than I'm sure we've got potentially outdated switches over there. That's the intent for the switches that you've got listed here is to separate new lines to make them voice lines versus
Ideally there would be, you know, we would have what's called managed switches, when you have a managed switch and a run to every phone from that switch and a run to every computer, then that managed switch can separate the data, which is also acceptable. But the switches over there do not have that capability. And then also there isn't a run for each computer and each phone there because they have so many offices that are being shared by multiple employees due to space requirements. So it makes it hard to do that. So, I mean, ideally in a perfect world, that's what we would do, replace the whole network, put a line in each device. But the cost of that would be quite a bit more than what we've suggested here. So basically what this is something that we get it for. We're back in compliance, and then at a later date, we can try and plug it in a network upgrade.
Yeah.
And then the vested piece of this that was presented to the court, that fee is the to transition from the old recording system to the new recording system. Okay, and so if,
we can't even talk to the NICE company. They don't even look at that system anymore. It is obsolete. So any requirements, getting new wiring, any updates whatsoever, they don't even look at it. Like, we bump that thing, the system shuts off or stops recording, and then we have to figure out why and give them a call to get some type of information from them. Doesn't even work. They want us to upgrade, which is going to be a lot more than event time.
Right. So it looks like you've identified 15 drops, correct? And then where I'm going, I want to make sure that, you know, we have this expansion. You know, I really at this time don't know how many more drops would be in that section over there that what we would be getting today would be able to meet that capacity. I see you got a 48 port PoE network switch. How many more, in other words, how many more slots are we going to have? How many more ports will we have available to us?
Are there going to be offices in the jail expansion? I'm not even sure.
There will be a medical, I think.
Well, the medical's already there. It's already part. Okay. They're just going to expand the medical a little bit. But in the new portion, there's going to be one control room.
So we'll probably need two computer and then phone.
Probably
two or four, depending on how many we get in there. We have one now and then add another.
Is the new switch going to be able to accommodate? Yeah.
How many anything we have hole inside the that's on
the front of the pack. I don't know. I'm still on the thing. We did every phone of the other thing.
Take your time. I mean, that's why I'm making sure we don't have to, 6 months from now, have to, make an addition, which is much more expensive than if you do it right up front.
Because that cabling should be part of the construction cost.
Yeah,
but we've got to have something to plug it into. We want to.
Seen any information on the expansion? So
right.
Any of the building plans or anything? So
and obviously some of that is sensitive material.
But I would assume that in that expansion, there would be a new network room. Or some closet network room or network closet in that expansion.
That would probably not. No.
No.
Okay. So it'll be
chased over
and tied into what we currently have, and that I believe that's Commissioner Weddle's key point of this is that this, if we're going to invest this money now, has to be able to absorb those IT requirements of the jail expansion.
So the switch, he says there's 24 phone lines in there. The switch that we'd be installing in the main office, it's a 48 port switch, but it's actually going to run 32 powered devices, so 32 phones it can run. So
we'll have room for
8 more.
All right, and so that the desk workstation in the expansion, does it have a CJIS requirement? I mean, is it going to
in the
control
expansion,
anything that's all attached has to be the same.
So if you've got a monitor, some type of electronics to look at, it's got to be one set, and if there's a phone there, It's got to be another set. So we're at a minimum, we're talking two. And we've got 12 open.
Eight, I think you said, correct?
Yeah.
Eight open. Okay.
Because some of them use double. So in your expert opinion, we're covered for some expansion.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Questions, comments?
Well, let me be clear, so we'll be approving two different.
One is going to address the internal cabling requirements,
right?
And one addresses the upgrade to the designated 911 phone lines and phone system.
When they put that, when Vesta put that in, I thought that would have been part of the process. Yes,
it was not.
Okay,
you didn't make the work.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve the upgrade telephone line to the 911 system.
I'll say.
We've got a motion from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Taylor to upgrade phone lines and 911 system. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. Item number 15, consider a budget amendment one and a budget amendment two for FY 2023. I believe those went out in your packet. And Mr. Wood had provided the supporting documents for those expenditures and the amounts to be moved.
What was the amendment for right away out of my department?
Amendment two is.
Okay, I haven't seen it other than what me and you discussed.
Yes, amendment probably the budget for this year only had 10,000 right away required. And 10,000 of equipment and do that way.
Which we still have two more pieces of property to purchase on that bridge. My concern about moving out equipment is we've been looking for a semi truck in the $25,000 range, and we currently have one having a big one. I think I would like to maybe see it come out of road and bridge material if that was an option to move around.
Court sees it that way. That's we can change that.
We need to think about where we're looking at moving the additional money for the next two pieces of right away.
Maybe. You got any suggestions?
Fuel's running under.
Yeah.
I mean, every time we pull out of materials, we're pulling away from road projects.
That's what things are being
I didn't know if there's other options to purchase right away at other line items.
Yeah. The reason we kept it within road and bridge is just to track the cost of the right away acquisition.
Yeah. If we have to make another amendment to the budget when those items come up, we could definitely do that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But you'd rather on amendment two From equipment to right of way. Thank you. From material to right of way.
Yes, sir. I guess about the last 2 years, year and a half, kind of been looking around for a used semi truck that meets our requirements to have an additional one. We try to maintain running more belly dumps every day when we're hauling, and we're kind of scrounging. We have 6 units, one stays underneath low boy and one stays on the end dump.
Right.
So if one goes down, we kind of shuffle around. We were looking for an additional one. That would be my only input on
there it is.
I believe the equipment, I don't have the numbers in front of me, what is the old truck we're looking at is around 280.
Yes, sir. And right now you're running 321 with you got left in the budget. So.
I believe the new old truck that we have ordered is 288.
Yes, sir.
288. So that's 32,000 left in there. That's, we were kind of budgeted about 30 to get a semi truck. So I don't even know if that's doable, depending on what we can find. That's some of the reason we haven't found one. We've been looking around 20,000. Now we've kind of moved it to 30. So
not a part.
I would prefer an older one. Newer ones are the ones giving us problems.
Yeah.
What was that? $10,000 maybe the other equipment?
Yes, sir.
I have not completed our contract services, but that would be another line item we might potentially look at, but we have some engineering things going on right now. So
we're done for today. We're taking out of the materials and
road bridge materials and move it to his right of way acquisitions.
Yes.
If that's acceptable.
I make a motion to accept 1 and 2 with changing, taking the 10,000 out of materials out of the road bridge.
Second on the budget
amendment. So just to clarify,
yes, sir.
Your motion is to approve the budget amendment 1 and budget amendment 2 with the modification to budget amendment 2 being from moving from line item in road and bridge from 0571 to removing that from 0343 road and bridge materials.
Sir.
Okay. Just want to make sure that was, yes, clearly understood yours.
Yes, sir.
So thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you clarifying for me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Commissioner Matthews, is that the second to that motion? Okay. All right. Very good. So we've got a motion and a second on the floor. Is there any further discussion on item number 15? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 16 is pay bills. We've had two invoices approved, or two bills, group of bills. I'm not even saying it the right way. We've had two items presented for bills. One was to cover payroll that was not previously approved by the court in our last meeting, and that amount would be $605,465.52, and bills for the current billing cycle of $844,788.59.
Thank you.
We've got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. We do have two items that we are going to discuss in closed meeting executive session pursuant to section 551.072. The Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property, and pursuant to section 551.0725, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate business and financial issues relating to a contract being negotiated. There are potentially two action items following that. So at this time, I would like to give commissioners the opportunity to give their reports. Commissioner Matthews.
I have
none. Okay. Very good. Commissioner Weddle.
Other than I know Commissioner Bashman is going to talk about the rattlesnake roundup, which was in time I was out there was a gigantic.
I'm done. Commissioner Bash.
Always need to be praying for rain. We're needing again, it's getting awful dry. Again, we did have the rattlesnake roundup. We had a great turnout. We had on Saturday, the third biggest turnout that the show's ever had. And then on Saturday, the second biggest turnout. It was a lot of fun. And I appreciate the people that attended it. It came out. We sure appreciate support. That's all I've got, really.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Taylor.
I don't guess I have anything. I did have one thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to say show condolences to the Bell family on their loss. So,
yes.
Right.
Yes. I'm there. Do one for
you. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you, Commissioner. I had that in my email. They were late for that.
She was a sweet lady. She was one of my old school teachers. She was very patient to put up with me as a child.
That's what I read.
Yes.
Yeah.
She
had a lot of patience.
Miss Dixon was very patient lady.
Okay. That's all I had. All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Just two quick things. The draft HMP. We got a copy of it last Friday, and I'll push that out to you. I owe that to all of you to kind of look at that on the hazard mitigation plan. The advisory planning team met Monday, yesterday.
Yes.
My days are running together.
Yeah,
sorry. I think they had a good meeting. I would defer to Commissioner Weddle. If you want to add kind of what y'all might have covered, discussed.
Two action items coming, out of that is, and by the way, anybody in here who filled out the survey, I want to thank you for that. So we're taking all of that data, and then what NRS has requested is that we narrow down the focus to some of the goals and or objectives or projects to mitigate any, hazards in the county. And I haven't sent mine up yet, but my wish would be that we get a $1 billion grant in order to eradicate cedar trees in Coyle County and be the first county in the state of Texas to not have a cedar tree left. So just joking, wouldn't that be a nice but anyway, we have to narrow down those the goals and the projects as a part of the plan. And it will be a living document. So even if we put some on there, they're going to continue to change as we are challenged with different floods and fires and storms.
Very good. Thank you. Yep. And again, that all ties into two or three of these plans that we're trying to put together to enable us to address some immediate needs as well as future needs within the county, infrastructure-wise. Response to hazards and with the intent of it being a better quality of life, better value here in Coyle County for our citizens. So with that, we will recess, reconvene in the front conference room at 10:45. We stand in recess. Thank you all. Okay, I've got 11 o'clock. We'll reconvene this regular meeting of the Coyle County Commissioners Court at this time. Picking up on the agenda item number 21, consider agreement for construction easement to support construction projects. The court has been presented with a construction easement agreement between Coryell County and Mr. Joe Carver for a construction easement with the adjoining property of his land and the land for where the jail addition is designed and specified to be built.
I make a motion to accept construction easement to support construction project.
Second.
We got a motion from Commissioner Basham, second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 19? Item number 21. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 22 on the agenda is to consider a lease agreement with the City of Gatesville for use of the building located at 110 North 8th Street, Gatesville, Texas. That is the former Gatesville City Hall. They are in the process of relocating to a new building on Main Street, corner of Main and 8th. And with that, to provide office locations and court locations for the departments that would be displaced because of new construction projects. We've had the opportunity to lease that particular building. That would be at a rate of $1,500 per month with specified terms that provide the provisions for them to be able to utilize that facility for city council meetings, planning and zoning, municipal court, integrated with our needs as well. Commencing on the date of March 15th of this year.
I make a motion that we enter into a lease agreement with the City of Gatesville for use of building located at 110 North 8th Street, Gatesville, Texas.
Okay.
We've got a motion from Commissioner Weddle. Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 22? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. That concludes the business of the court for today. We stand adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.